And liftoff.
Blog
we have liftoff. We are back. Welcome to 2010. Yeah. Okay.
Yay.
Oh, there's just one person here. Okay.
It probably, everybody forgot about us. We've been gone for 3 weeks.
That's been a good vacation. Enjoy the skiing in Colorado and Montana. And,
it was nice, and it was cold.
Yes, and we got out there just in time before the snow drifted up above the lodge to the second story, so that was very good. And,
but we took a lot of good wine. They had a lot of good wine there, so yes. It was always nice just to enjoy the wine all the time.
and then we flew the private jet in just a couple of days ago, and here we are back in, I forgot what state we're in, but anyway, we're here.
Florida.
And for those of you up north, yes, I was just going to say, for those of you up north, right now in Zephyr Hills, at least, it is 62 degrees.
Warm, sunny Florida, yes.
Warm, sunny. It was a great day today. And they were calling for, cloudy. And it's going to get funny this weekend, but it'll be all right. But anyway, 62 degrees right now in Zephyr Hills, and it's like minus something somewhere in the U.S. So,
has to be, yeah.
Tonight we will be discussing New Zealand wines. So stick around, and we give you the phone numbers. We give you everything. Coming up, this is All About Wine Thursday, January 14th. Yes. So if it's not January 14th, you're probably listening to a replay. Okay.
The following takes place between 7 and 8.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available. So you will find quite a few of your wines from this region in your stores and stuff like that.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com. It's All About Wine. Featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Labels themselves are, like I say, they become an art form.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Yeah. Skip it. Thank you.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, we're here.
Bus people. No bus people.
They're clapping or something. Yeah, those are. Okay, settle down. The applause sign goes out and they're still clapping.
I see.
Well, here we are. It is January 14th, a great Thursday here in Florida, 62 degrees, like I said, and it's we're ready to get started. Do we still have time left? Yes. Okay.
No, we've got plenty of time.
All right. And this is a big topic to cover for the country of New Zealand. And if you'd like to get in on the program and offer your or ask questions, talk to Ron and talk about wine, any kind of topic, give us a call, 646-727-3235, 646-727-3235. Call us. Welcome back, Ron. It's great to hear from you and talk to you and have another segment, and we're ready to go for 2010. Yes.
Thank you. First thing, hope everyone had a very holiday season, Christmas, New Year's. Everybody was safe and enjoyed some good wines and got some good wines for Christmas presents and holiday presents. So, on behalf of both Mike and I, we want to send our sympathies to Haiti and anyone who is affected by the tragedy down there a couple days ago.
Yes, absolutely.
Hope everything turns out well, and any relatives that anyone might have down there that's listening to the program, we hope that the best turns out from all that.
Right.
New Zealand. I was really, really amazed about New Zealand. I am like everyone. I've never been there, but I'm like everyone else. I drink New Zealand wines, and I enjoy them. And I've got some favorites from New Zealand, and ones I look for, and a lot of them that I've tried, I've always enjoyed. But when I was doing research on this and going into detail on this to find out a little bit more about the different regions and stuff, I was really quite amazed about New Zealand. It's a small country. It's only 103,000 square miles total land mass, which is reasonably small. And I tried to find a state to compare it to so we can have something, or another country or something to compare it to. And I couldn't find anything to get reasonably close, so I don't have a comparison there. But only 103,000 square miles. It is out in the middle of the ocean. New Zealand, I always thought, was a lot closer to Australia than what I found out. But New Zealand is really 1,000 to 1,200 miles away from Australia. If you are kilometer people, it's around 1,600 to 2,000 kilometers away, which is quite a distance out in the ocean. New Zealand's closest relatives is not Australia, but New Caledonia, Fiji, and Tonga. These are islands there, and those are actually closer to New Zealand than the country of Australia. So New Zealand really is stuck out in the middle of the South Pacific Oceans. It is a wine-producing country, but not a lot of wine. They really are very small amount of wine. The country shot to fame in the late 1980s when the Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc started to attract attention over in Europe. And when that happened, it threw itself on the map because the Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc just exploded over in European communities and all that for its quality and for its taste. And the Martinborough Pinot Noir and the Gisborne Chardonnay from New Zealand also started to catch on. And because of that, New Zealand became a wine country. It became one that people started recognizing, people started to know about, and people started to pay attention to. But right now, the country makes around 15.8 million gallons of wine annually, or 60 million liters. Again, if I'll try to give both liters and our metric on these, 60 million liters of wine annually, which is just 0.2% of the global total of wine.
Wow.
Nothing. I mean, really, if you start looking at different I think the state of Florida might not be too far behind that, really. I mean, in the wineries that we have in the state of Florida. So for the amount of wine that New Zealand actually makes, it really has an incredible reputation. It is in the Southern Hemisphere. It's between the 32nd and 47th parallels in the Southern Hemisphere, which puts it down really reasonably low in the world of wine. I mentioned in previous programs that when you start talking about wine in where wine's growing around the world, you have two major bands that cross around the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, and these two major bands is really where most of the wine is growing. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's between 30 degrees south and 40 degrees south. And so New Zealand, the South Island, is really below that band. So you're getting into quite a cool climate there. It's like the northern part of Europe as far as that goes. If you look at the equivalent band, you're looking at New York State and stuff like that in Canada. So it does get quite cool in some of the areas there. The cool climate does help quite a bit, though, but there is a tremendous amount of rainfall and a lot of humidity in New Zealand, considering it's such a small size, an island nation that is stuck out in the middle of the ocean. You can understand that it would be quite humid. A little history on New Zealand, though. This is fascinating to me, I think. I know about New Zealand wines. I've tasted New Zealand wines. I'm familiar with a lot of the areas of New Zealand wines, but I never really did look at the history. And I do want to share some of the history of New Zealand with you before we go any further, because it is, I thought, quite fascinating. The first vines in New Zealand were planted by a Reverend Samuel Marsden in 1819 in what is now the Northland area, the North Island. The first winery opened in 1836. There was a lot of Dalmatian immigrants, and I'm not sure what region or area that has come from. I guess I should have looked that up. They began planting the vine in the Northland area near Auckland, and Auckland is the capital of New Zealand. It is located way north. There's actually, New Zealand is divided into two islands. You have the North Island and the South Island. And the North Island is where the capital is, Auckland, which is located on the upper part of it. Let me quickly just describe the North Island is round with a finger jutting out north of it. And Auckland is located on the bottom of that finger at in a bay area. Then there is the South Island, and through the western edge, central western edge of the South Island is what they call the Southern Alps. So you have a mountain range that runs right through the center there. And then Christchurch, which is the one of the biggest cities in the South on the South Island, is located on the east of it in a bay area called Pregnant. I can't read this here. I'm sorry, it's too small. It's written here later. I'll bring it up. But this is most of the vineyards and all that are planted on the North Island. Again, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the South Island is getting pretty cold. You're getting into the edge of the growing areas for grapes. The Northland area near Auckland was where the first wineries were, and some of them still operate today. Hawke's Bay region is a really significant area almost in the Northland Auckland area. It is home to New Zealand's oldest winery, Mission Estate, which was founded in 1851 and is still in operation. The government employed a man by the name of Romeo Bragata, who held office from 1895 to 1909. And his work in New Zealand really helped. He identified phylloxera, and we had talked about that, the disease, the mice that get into the grapes. And he also found different regions and different soil conditions and different areas that were suitable for growing grapes. He had remembered as a man with a lot of foresight in what he was able to define and to look at and to discover. Problem was that when he left the country, growers started to replace the diseased Vitis vinifera grapes with disease-resistant hybrid grapes to get away from them to conquer phylloxera. And when they did the disease-resistant, the quality of the wine suffered tremendously because they were putting in a lot of grapes that were not established, were not known, were not not to be taken seriously, basically. Okay. Another setback that hit New Zealand was the New Zealand Temperance Society. And that was formed in 1836, but it continued up until 1918 with the strongest influence from 1881 to 1918. And so it went right through an area, a time there when New Zealand wine industry was really starting to become stronger and a lot more was being planted and everything. But returning soldiers from World War One. Once you take the boy off the farm, you can't put him back there again. So the boys came home, and they'd been traveling around different parts of the world, and France and stuff. they discovered wine and alcohol. And so when the boys came back from World War One, it started to dwindle the power of the New Zealand Temperance Society, and pretty much the New Zealand Temperance Society formed itself in the 20s and died out in the 1930s. The wine industry also was affected by the country's very conservative licensing laws. And this is something that really, I think, struck me more than anything. Until 1881, winery sales were illegal, and the only outlets for alcohol were in hotels.
Oh, my goodness.
It was in 1955 that permission was granted for specialty shops to sell wine. And it wasn't until the 1960s that restaurants were finally granted licenses to sell wine. So, you know, I mean, 1960, that really is only about 60 years ago, or 50 years ago, I'm sorry, 50 years ago. So that wasn't that long ago. When you start looking at the history of wine around different parts of the world, that is really rather recent.
Mm-hmm.
The wine industry now in New Zealand, a lot of areas make wine, a lot of areas do wine. Again, though, it is only 0.2% of the global total of grapes planted. So you're looking at a reasonably small amount of wine that is comes from Australia. Although grapes are grown all over Australia, with the exception of the west coast of the North and South Islands. That is the, again, when you're looking at a map, the left-hand side of the islands. And also Stewart Island, there is no wine grown there. Now, Stewart Island is located off the southern tip of the South Island. It really is quite far south. A lot of cold, a lot of bad weather down there. But there are 9 official wine-producing regions in New Zealand. Auckland, Waikato, and Bay of Plenty, which is one region. Gisborne, Hawke's Bay, Wairarapa, and Wellington on the North Island. And then you have Marlborough, Nelson, Canterbury, Waipara, and Central Otago, located on the South Island. Because of the islands and where they're located, you're going to have a big diversity of climates in New Zealand. North Island tends to be warmer. Obviously, it's further north, and we're speaking south of the equator, so further north is going to be warmer than the South Island. And except for areas like the Wairarapa, Wellington region, which tends to be a little bit cooler, equivalent to the south region. Most of the northern growing regions are consistent, good, consistent temperature. When you get into the southern half of the South Island, Canterbury and Central Otago is the furthest one south. It's inland. All the other wine or grape growing regions are on coastal areas, and the Central Otago is inland. It's only one, and it is actually a lot of frost that comes in about harvest time, about vintage time, and they have snow in the winters there, and a little bit shorter growing season, so it creates for some consistency in the grape growing, but a little bit more problems with them because of the fact that they do have the early frost sometimes. New Zealand has a total vineyard area of 20,163 acres, or 8,160 hectares. Three-quarters of these are planted in the country's 3 largest and fastest-growing wine regions, which is Marlborough, Hawke's Bay, and Gisborne, with Hawke's being the most widely planted grape. 70% of all plantings are of the white grape variety. Chardonnay topping the list, with Sauvignon Blanc and Müller-Thurgau being runner-ups to the Chardonnay. plantings of Mueller Thurgau are going to increase, as is a lot of other grapes, and they have been increasing over the years in New Zealand. Pinot Gris, Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Sauvignon probably going to, the Sauvignon probably going to decrease a little bit because they've been using it as a blend, and it's, they've got others that they're trying to put in now. Red grape varieties are dominated by the Pinot Noir. Probably the biggest one you're going to find coming out of New Zealand, most planted. But there are quite a bit of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Although Merlot is starting to become more and more popular coming out of New Zealand, and they're starting to find that it is growing well in a lot of the areas that planted before. So Merlot is probably going to overtake the Cabernet as second place in the most planted red grape variety. There's a lot of others that are planted in different regions and all that, but all in small quantities. Again, when you're only looking at 20,163 acres of grapevines planted, considering that when we talked about areas like France and Spain, there were wineries themselves that had close to that in some of their planting just for one or two wineries, then most of these are small vineyards. The soil in most all of New Zealand is pretty fertile. They have some very good soil. It's an island. It's a volcanic island, island that came out. And so a lot of the soil is very fertile. They got a lot of rain, a lot of humidity. A lot of the grapes grow like crazy. The canopy are the cropping, the control of the grapevines is a constant battle, and you try to crop your grapevines back to 5 tons per acre. But when you start getting very prolific vines that are growing like crazy and producing like crazy, a lot of the New Zealand growers are letting it go and just, you know, taking as much fruit out of the grapevines as they can and make the wines, which not suffering a whole lot because of some of the ones that they are doing. So it hasn't really affected them tremendously on the quality. There is a guideline called the Integrated Wine Production, IWP. It is a grower's guideline on sustainable vineyard practices, and it's looking at pesticides and fungicides that are being sprayed on these, especially the fungicides, because of the fact that it is so humid, the plants are very susceptible to all sorts of diseases and all sorts of rot and different things. So they're using this fungicide, and because of that, it is affecting the environment quite strongly in New Zealand, so they are looking at doing the integrated wine production guidelines, and groups are trying to control that. Different areas. Auckland. We are looking at the northern part of New Zealand here. Auckland is, again, North Island up on the northwest part of the island. Little finger sticks out there. Auckland is the capital, like I said earlier, and probably has the most diverse wine-producing region of it. The climate suits it well, so it is able to produce quite a bit. There's a lot of sub-regions in there. Montagna is in the north. Great Barrier Island grows it. Greater Auckland, Henderson, quite a few islands. Auckland has about 4% of the national vineyard area, which rather small, but they have about 80 wineries. So they showed you how small some of these vineyards are. They're usually pretty small. They concentrate on red production in that area, mainly Cabernet and the Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. But they are bringing in a lot and planting Pinotage. And Pinotage is a wine that you'll see a lot coming out of South Africa. In fact, if you are looking at trying one, pick up a South African Pinotage, P-I-N-O-T-A-G-E. a little bit lighter style than the ones I've had out of there, but very pleasant. And Syrah, or Syrahs, being planted a lot in the this area here for red grapes. The white grapes in the area, although small quantities, Chardonnay, Gewürztraminer, Demeanor, and Sauvignon, but this is mostly noted as a white, as a red wine production area. The Acauhu Estate produces some very high-quality red wines, Syrahs, Cabernet blends that are getting some worldwide recognition. Some of the other vineyards are wineries around that area are using Pinotage, Merlot, and Chambortian blends, which are really some very pleasant results coming out of that. Like I said earlier, I've had quite a few New Zealand wines before, and some of them are just absolutely phenomenal. You can tell the small wine has really put a lot of effort into some of these. A lot of the new wineries that are coming out are getting away from some of the standard grapes, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, and Cabernet-based reds on most of them. The Great Barrier is home to vineyard and one winery. Small yields out there because of where it's located, Cabernet being the primary grape grown in that region. The regions around Auckland itself, the city of Auckland itself, is not well suited for viticulture. It's a lot of hills outside of the Auckland, and a lot of uneven terrain and stuff, and so it's really not a real good area for planting grapes. The ones that they do have planted reasonably close there, the vineyards that are a few miles away from the city of Auckland, are planting not only Cabernet but Malbec and Sangiovese and Nebbiolo, some Italian grape varieties. So they're spreading it out and getting a little bit of different types of wines in that area, and what they're saying that the Italian wines, Italian grapes, are really starting to catch hold there in that area. The next region I want to talk about is Waikato and the Bay of Plenty, and these are located, and let me look on the map here, Waikato, these are south of Auckland. Auckland is located, again, up on the finger. Waikato and Bay of Plenty is further south of that. The southern end of it has the city of Hamilton, with in the northern end, the city of Thames, Thames. This area here is a short distance south of Auckland, but it's New Zealand's smallest wine region. It has 13 wineries and only 247 acres, or 100 hectares of vineyards, barely 1% of the total out of that country. But most of the wineries that are small are coming out with vines there. The area is divided into four sub-regions because of the fact that it is on the bay and it goes into higher hillsides and stuff like that. One of the first wineries ever opened there was New Zealand was opening just inside the Bay of Plenty in Waikato. The New Zealand government American troops used this area when they were staging over there during First and Second World Wars. This is the area that they stayed in New Zealand. And when they moved out, a winery picked up the area. And so the whole area that was once a troop base for American troops has now been converted over to a winery. The levels of sunshine is high in this area. It's a great area for growing, but it's very few frosts. It's but a lot of rain, an awful lot of rain coming in this area. Very hot, humid area, very wet, and so they're trying to control grape production by canopy management and stuff, and it's causing some problems with the grapes, but with the loam soil and heavy clay, the Chardonnay is growing quite well there. Also, the area does get cold in the winter, and they are turning out some very nice Botrytis or late harvest dessert wines out of this region here, Bay of Plenty region. There are a few vineyards located down south central part of the North Island around Hamilton, very heavy clay loam soils in this area that is turning out some nice Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays, although the areas with the high humidity is very heavy fogs a lot, and the fogs are as working in the vineyard, I'd say the fog can settle in there and you not dry it out, and you can have yourself all sorts of problems with I've got a blank. I'm sorry. I'll think of it in a moment. Mold. Thank you. I had a, you know, I was thinking of my engineer just informed. With the Botrytis gets in the grapevines with the fogs and stuff like that. So it does. It works both ways. You can drive you nuts, or it can be very beneficial. Most planted grapes in this area, Chardonnay, followed by Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc. Again, you're looking at about 50% of all plantings within these three grapes, with Chardonnay being the most. But then you have a lot of other smaller grapevines being planted, then grape stalls being planted. Chenin Blanc, Gewurztraminer, Muscats, Palomino, Riesling, Sylvaner, Blueberger, Merlot, Pinot Noir, a very diverse area. It's going to handle all sorts of different types of grapes and all sorts of different types of growth patterns and all. So because of the diversity of it, it has been, it can grow a lot of different types. Next area, Gisborne and Hawke's Bay. This is also in the North Island, but this is on the eastern side of the North Island. Hawke's Bay, or Hawke Bay, is in the south central. It is south of the Rukamara Range, which is a small mountain range that runs just north of it. It is a close to... The two, Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, are close geographically, but a lot of different style in the wine, simply because of the influence from the one, and the other one doesn't have as much influence. Gisborne is the country's third largest grape producing region, with 16% of the total New Zealand vineyard area. Does a lot of bulk wine growing and selling it throughout the country of New Zealand, where the Thurgau and Muscat seems to be the most common ones in the area. But although Gisborne is now getting a reputation as being the capital of Chardonnay in New Zealand, they're turning out some phenomenal Chardonnays there. And they have really developed quite a reputation in the last few years as a Chardonnay grower and a Chardonnay winemaker. Soils in this area are volcanic, basically volcanic. There are big variations in there. Again, the mountains running up to the north and west of the area. The cool climate is really affecting the Chardonnay. Chardonnay is without doubt the most planted grape in this region. It 41% of the vineyards are planted in Chardonnay, with a lot of other plantings. Although they are, because of the quality of Chardonnay, they're starting to carry out some plantings of Pinot Noir, Sauvignon, Gewurztraminer, Merlot, increasing the Chardonnay, and also planting a lot of Chenin Blanc and Muscat. So it is. Is being noted for the Chardonnay growth there. Excuse me. The Gewurztraminer, also produced here, is probably one of the best in New Zealand. Now, Marlborough's Gewurztraminer is noted as the best you're going to find in New Zealand, but out of Hawke's Bay, the Gewurztraminer is just a really very fruity and melon, tropical fruit flavors to it, and very distinct style of New Zealand. The wines are starting to show promise in this area. The Merlot is being planted more and more, although Pinot Noir is still planted quite heavily, but not because of the fact that they're making Pinot Noir wines, simply because they're using the Pinot Noir grape to make a sparkling wine, types of champagne in the area. Hawke's Bay, that was Gisborne I was saying, but Hawke's Bay accounts for 27% of New Zealand's vineyard area. So when you have Gisborne with 41% and Hawke's Bay with 27%, you're looking at 68% of total areas of vineyards just in these areas here. So it showed you how small all these other areas really can be. There are 41 wineries in the Hawke's Bay area, a tremendous amount of wineries. Again, most of these are small, medium-sized wineries, not a whole lot of space, just small things with simple plantings and making some really nice quality wines. And the soil in the Hawke's Bay area is alluvial, and although it varies because of its location next to the bay and the mountains behind it, again, there are some limestone soil around there, which is really helping produce some great Chardonnays, Merlots, and Cabernets. You get a little bit further away from Hawke's, from the bay back up. Napier actually is the main city there, and a lot of the wineries are located around Napier. You get a little bit away from Napier and out into the surrounding areas to some of the wineries that are outside of that, and you're going to get more of a maritime climate, a cooler climate. Most sunshine you're going to find in New Zealand on average per year, and Chardonnay is some phenomenal Chardonnays. The New Zealand wines, I think the Sauvignon Blanc is the one that we are most familiar with, but I've had some Chardonnays out of New Zealand that would just knock your socks off. They're just some phenomenal fruity. They don't always oak them. Some of them are keeping out fruity, which is the same style that I do at the winery, by the way. But some very nice Chardonnays coming out of this area. The Cabernet Sauvignon is the next most planted variety. It's losing ground to Merlot, though. They're starting to find more and more of the Merlot growth here and the Merlot style of wines and all that, although they are doing a lot of blending with the Cabs and Merlots and coming out with some really nice wines. They also have Cabernet Franc and Pinot Noir and Syrah, which all of these they put together as blends. And then a whole basket full of different wines, Italian wines and ones we associate with Germany and all that. Korea is really one of the biggest for New Zealand as far as vineyards and growth and wines. I do want to point out something, though, about New Zealand wines. The terroir, we've talked about this before, particularly when we were talking about France. Terroir is the combination of the vineyard and the winery and the sunshine and everything that goes into making the wine or the grapes what they are. The concept of terroir is really quite alive in New Zealand. There's a group of 30 wineries that have banded together to promote the sub-region of Hawke's Bay, known as the Gimblet Gravels. About 1,976 acres, or about 800 hectares. It is controlled a subregion of this that consists of the gravelly soils, the temperatures, the climate, everything put together. And again, terroir. And this subregion is coming out with some of New Zealand's best Syrah and Bordeaux blend wines to carry the GG or Gimlet Gravels logo your vineyards must be 95% within the designated region of this, and it's just something that they put together. So if you do see a New Zealand wine with the GG logo on it, then this is from the Gimblet Gravels area of New Zealand or the Hawke's Bay region. Next one we have for you, the next region we're going to discuss here, is the Wairarapa Wellington region. And this is down in the southern tip of the North Island. The Wellington is right on the southern tip across the Cook Strait from the South Island. And behind this area, which covers coast to coast, is the Wairarapa Wellington region. It has been around for quite some time, formerly known as the Martinborough region because of a little tiny town of Martinborough that is located pretty much in the middle of south middle of this. But they're calling it the Wellington region now. 33 wine producers in the region. 12% of the country's wines are located here, but only 3% of the country's vines. So not a lot of planting here, but we've got a lot of wineries. The vineyards obviously are quite small, less than the average of the country. This is the coolest and driest winemaking region, influenced by Strait there, but also shielded because of the South Island and the North Island, and the way the islands are shaped, you're getting stopping a lot of the influence from the ocean coming in. The local winemakers have been planting a lot in Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, although the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay are starting to become more and more popular as years go by here. There's a lot more than that. Pinot Noir, though, is the wine growing in this. Again, back to the cool climate and cool area here, which is good for Pinot Noir growth. About 50% of all the vineyards are in Pinot Noir, and they are making them in two styles, a very intensely fruit-driven Pinot Noir, high alcohol, and another one's a little bit earthier, lighter, softer type Pinot Noir, which is the style of Pinot Noir I am enjoying tonight, as a matter of fact. That's what I'm having a glass of. The region is quite large, not as diversified. It's pretty much everything's there. The soil is a loam soil, some rockiness. Not a lot of mountains or any hills on there and everything. Just a smaller vineyards, but a lot of vineyards in the area. We're going to jump across the Cook Strait into the South Island to Marlborough. Marlborough is one that established New Zealand thing worldwide. Located on the northeastern tip of the South Island, it is the largest wine region of New Zealand and home to the famous Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. This is the one that became known worldwide and became brought attention to New Zealand. Marlborough is only the second largest producing area in terms of vineyard plantings, but it is the largest as far as vineyards go. It's best thing about the area there is this free draining alluvial soil. The soil is just very good. It doesn't hold the water. Relatively cool climate, again, the influence from Cook Strait and the Pacific Ocean and Tasman Sea on the west and going to there. So it makes for a really cool climate and a lot of sunshine in that area there. The Sauvignon Blanc is obviously the most widely planted grape variety, accounting for over 42% of all the plantings there. Chardonnay coming right in there, followed by the Pinot Noir, Riesling, Cabernet, and then a whole variety of others, again, in that area. The Sauvignon Blanc coming in this area tends to be intense flavor, high acid, just basically what the world is looking at in Sauvignon Blanc now. This is what people say. This is what a Sauvignon Blanc because Marlborough basically established a standard and they can get this via. New Stahl Sauvignon Blanc, though, is starting to come from this area. They are starting to oak the Sauvignon Blanc more. Malolactic fermentation, again, refer back to Chardonnays that we've talked about, in the malolactic fermentation, the second fermentation, which gives it that butteriness. These can be aged, so you're looking at some Sauvignon Blancs that you can store and age just as well as you can some of the classic Chardonnays that you're finding around the world. So they're putting some more effort and some more money and a lot of quality, high quality in this. Rieslings coming from this area, a lot of the growers think that the Riesling is going to be the next big thing in this area also. It's got the climate, it's got what they need for it, and they're looking at doing a lot with the Riesling. It's something that they think that is an untapped possibility for the region. Pines, Cabernet Sauvignon, always good in this area because of the climates and stuff. Merlot has been around for a long time. They're planting a lot more of the Cab and Merlots in areas. Percentage of vineyards are increasing because of the fact that they are planting a lot more reds. The Sauvignon Blanc, though, is without a doubt the primary grape in the area. The Cabernet Sauvignon is increased, Cabernet Sauvignon is increasing in some areas, but they are outside of Marlboro, that area there are taking out some of the Cabernet and putting in some more Sauvignon Blanc. So it's it is changing, constantly changing for what they have there. We can't talk about New Zealand without mentioning their closures, their screw caps. If you get a wine from New Zealand, you're going more than likely to find the screw cap. New Zealand has really converted over a lot to the screw cap. All the issues facing natural corks and synthetic corks and screw caps and everything. New Zealand started a few years ago, and they got tired of seeing all of their wines that they were shipping around the world being spoiled by the cork paint, so they decided that they would switch over the screw cap, and they pretty much have. You get something out of Marlboro area, and it's going to be screw cap. In fact, I say all the time, it's almost true, if you get something out of New Zealand, it's more than likely going to be a screw cap. They pretty much, as a country, switch over to screw cap, which is nothing wrong with that. Most wines you drink soon enough anyway, so screw cap doesn't affect the taste of the wine and do anything to it at all. If you're going to store it for any length of time, there's still controversy about that and what the screw cap will do. But most of the wines you're pulling out of New Zealand will be a screw cap. Next region we are talking about is going to be Nelson. This is located, again, in South Bay, but it is our South Island. It is northwest of Marlboro region. It is right on the Tamim Bay, Golden Bay area, a small area that just lies along the coast. Since the 1970s, it's been attracting a lot of small wineries, small winemakers, 22 wineries in the region now. Most of them are small. The area covers about 2% of all New Zealand's vineyard plantings. Development is slow in the area. There's a couple of wineries that have been there for quite some time, but it isn't something that has really boomed, although it has the potential of doing well. It's Chardonnay. The climate is a little bit wetter than you're going to find in Marlboro, but basically same type of soil. Chardonnay is planted there, probably the most planted grape. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, Riesling follow up. Then again, a whole bunch of, a little bit of everything follows that. Canterbury Waipara. Canterbury Waipara is located in the central eastern area of South Island. It stretches on inland a little ways into the Canterbury Plains. All of these are east of the Southern Alps, the mountains there. Christchurch is the big city, and I believe Christchurch is the capital, or the state capital of the South Islands there. The soil and climates and styles of area between Canterbury and Waipara are really quite different. They don't really match up. Waipara is located in the northeast part of this region, whereas Canterbury is more on the plains and more on that the plains and the rivers that run through there. There's two or three rivers that run through there. Most of the grapes planted in these areas, again, are the classic Chardonnays, Pinot Noir, Rieslings, and some Sauvignon Blanc. Chardonnay being the primary one. Again, it's very, very well grown in this with the soil, the styles, and the soil type. There is two main regions of the Canterbury, the Banks Peninsula and the Canterbury Plains, and Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, and Pinot Noir and Rieslings are the ones that are grown primarily in these regions. Although, again, as I found through almost every region of New Zealand, they throw in a whole bunch of every type of grape you can imagine that will grow in that area. Gewürztraminer, Cabernet Franc, Pinotage, Sauvignon, Gewürztraminer, on and on and on. There is small plantings in just about everything. Most of it used as blending. Seldom do you find a lot of these coming out as wines themselves, but a lot of them used for blending with other ones that we are familiar with. And then the last area, the Central Otago, O-T-A-G-O, Otago, I believe it's pronounced Otago. This is located in the south central part of the South Island. This is the highest elevation. It is the southernmost grape-growing region in the world. And it's also one of the smallest wine-producing regions for New Zealand, with just 2.5% of the total national vineyards there. They get very cold winters, a lot of snow and stuff, and a shorter growing season. Not expect to expand much because it is in the southern part of it. The region is right at the tip of the Southern Alps, very close to one of the largest mountains in New Zealand, 3,300 meter or 9,038 feet high Mount Haijing. I can't see the pronunciation of this. This is Mount Ospring, but it's close to this range of mountains there. The growth has been a little bit more rapid for the Pinot Noir in this region, which accounts for about 73% of all plantings. So Pinot Noir, again, is my engineer just pointed out the time. So I'm going to wrap this up. In fact, this is the last region here anyway. So.
Right.
Pinot Noir is the most widely planted. Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Gris, Sauvignon Blanc, smaller quantities of Radiacre, Gewürztraminer, Chimillon, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Syrah. I mean, just about everything they can put into the ground. And, you know, it's a small area. Cold, they are coming out with some late harvest wines out of this area because of the cold and the fact that they get early frost and all this. So they are coming out with a lot of very nice late harvest wines from this region. Although, because of the size of it, we probably don't see a whole lot of them here in the States, which is really sad because I looked at three or four different things trying to find out more about the late harvest wines, and everybody said it was great and it was wonderful, but nobody said where you can get them and what they are. So it didn't help much.
Yeah, that would.
So, yeah. So that's New Zealand.
Wow.
I know. It really surprised me. The country was New Zealand really did surprise me.
Oh.
Thank you, Busby. Thank
okay.
you. Yeah, a little quick.
Okay.
So So there you go. That's New Zealand. Pick them up. My main thing is, boy, if anybody's out there and you're not sure what to get, step over to the New Zealand section and grab yourself a wine from New Zealand, because I most everyone I've had from New Zealand was very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Wow, a lot of information, a lot of regions for the whole country. I do have some information on New Zealand, I posted this real quick on Skype, but I don't think you got that. But New Zealand is comparable in, I guess, the land square miles. You said like 103,000 to Colorado.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Colorado is actually about 1,000, right around 1,000 square miles bigger. But just to get a comparison of the land size, it's close to Colorado, so that's what.
I see your note here now.
also right now in Auckland, New Zealand, it is 75 degrees, partly cloudy. The low, they've been running pretty warm. I guess they're having. I didn't realize it was this kind of summer. In the 70s, the upper 70s for the highs later this week, some rain Sunday, Monday, it looks like, and then the low 60s for the rest of the week in Auckland, New Zealand. And
wow.
Yeah, you mentioned Christchurch. Christchurch is, like you said, on the southern end of it in Canterbury,
right.
And that is running in the 60s, the mid-60s for the high, and let's see, Saturday it's going to be down in the 50s, the upper 50s for the low. And the low 50s and 40s Saturday and Sunday for the low. So
that's a little cool. You know, that really is. I mean, they're in the middle of their summer there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just kind of speaking of other some things that are coming up, wine tasting class is the next what I have on the event list here, January 23rd.
That's
at
right.
At Florida State's Winery, January 23rd. So we'll have another show next week.
Yes, we will.
We'll have another show, and then we'll tell you more about wine class from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. January 23rd. And then the end of January, January 30th, is the next wine festival. January 30th, mark your calendars, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. So we'll have another show in between now and then, and we'll give you some more information on that.
Talk more about that and everything.
Right.
We had a wine fest on the 9th. And it was cold. Our musician didn't show up. He called and he says, "I don't think I can play guitar with my gloves on." So,
we had some people don't they come down and vacation in Florida during their winter, not expecting it down here. And I got up the other morning. It was 26 degrees here, and frost on the whole car and everything. And
the roofs are all frosted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. The citrus growers are going to have a major problem this year because of all the problems.
The strawberries, though, they might lose part of this crop, but they've still got a lot of strawberries that are going to be coming out in the second and third harvest. It's going to be good.
Well, that's good. That's good news.
So, but people are going to watch out because you're going to start getting increases in price of tomatoes and bell peppers and a lot of this winter stuff that we grow down here. They already said that you're going to see an increase in prices. So,
yeah, and that's we've had I forgot how many days it was, but it was for almost what, a week maybe straight. We had
they said that for the first time, mm-hmm. 10 days in a row, Tampa did not get above 60 degrees, which is everybody's going, oh, 60, yeah, but it's Florida, people.
Yeah, we're not used to that. All right, we'll see you all next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Once again, for All About Wine, Ron, thank you. It's it was great.
Thank you.
Very good information on New Zealand, and we'll look forward to the next show next Thursday. So stay tuned and join us. Join us on the phone. Join us in chat, and I would love to have you get on the program and talk with you as well. So thank you, Ron, and thank you, everybody, for listening on 1000 Mics and Blog Talk Radio. And
thanks, everyone.
See you all next week. That was close.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's D-A-W-G and the number 1. Email address is podcast@ChicoDog.com. Follow